Blog Talk Radio.
Well, what we want to talk about for a few minutes is the nature of self-awareness in the life of man. Self-awareness should begin right where it began for our slave ancestors in the situation of slavery. They went to the right place. They had the correct self-awareness. The white man said they were cheap blacks, inferior humans, and they looked out at the universe and thought on the universe and thought on the one who did it, and they thought on the white man, they looked at him and they thought on him. Said, well, yeah, he's in a better situation, but one-on-one, I whip his tail. I'd have him saying yes sir to me if the situation was different. That's what some of our strong bucks had going on in their mind, you know, going on in their mind. So finally one of them started thinking on that. He said, it's just these circumstances that we're in that accounts for our state, our bad state of existence. God didn't intend that for us. He intended us to have the same freedom, the same dignity that the master has. And they begin to rebel. That was the right. That was the right situation for coming into self-awareness. That's the first step in self-awareness. We have gone off track. We need to read the Quran and come back to that self-awareness that our ancestors found in the situation, in the circumstances of slavery. Oh, yes. That's the message that Allah brings to us for self-awareness. He says that I created all that you see in the heavens and in the earth. And I created you. And I made you in the most excellent model or mold. And you all have descended from one ancestor. None of you have a superior origin over the other. You all descended from one ancestor. And it didn't say Adam. But we recognize that it's Adam. Huh? But his name is not as important as his identity. His identity is Nafsin Wahida. The one original human personality. Huh? The one original human nature. The one original human personality. From that one original human nature and personality, Allah created a mate for him, for it, and spread from the mate many men and women. He said he caused the whole earth to be populated with men and women from that original human mate and personality. Huh? So that tells us without any doubt that Allah is saying we all are equal. If that's not enough, Muhammad the Prophet said in his farewell address, there's no address of his more major, more important, more critical for us if we want to stick to what he wants than that farewell address. But a man tell you, I may not see you again, I may not see you next year, I may not see you again at the major gathering like this, and then he begin to speak to you on issues, you, with your common sense, should recognize that what he tells you represents the most important concern. And he told them to stick to Allah, to stick to the Quran, to stick to his sunnah, to his way of living the religion. And he told them also at that same time, at that same great mass gathering, he told them that there is no superiority of a white over a black, no superiority of a black over a white, no superiority of a Arab over a non-Arab, and no superiority of a non-Arab over an Arab. The only superiority is in how you perform before your Lord. gain by self-awareness, we have to go back to the first step in self-awareness. And once you come into that step right, oh, you're ready for progress. You're ready for progress. Our people had no problem progressing once they came to that idea of self-awareness. They eventually got the respect of all conscientious people, not only in the North, but also in the South. Many slave masters say, no, he's an intelligent human being just like I am. I can't treat him as though he's abused. He's my slave, but I don't treat him like no slave. He doesn't call me master. I make it possible for him to have decent clothes. I've given him a job that goes along with his qualifications. He goes out and he makes business deals for me. He negotiates sales for me. Don't you know some of the slave masters had slaves that they allowed to go and negotiate sales for them? This is history. In fact, one of them was a Muslim. His name is Omar ibn Said. He was like a secretary and a businessman for his master because of his ability. And his master was humane. His master was civilized and recognized that he shouldn't treat a human being like a brute, like he's a brute. And on one of the Western writer wrote about this, and in his book he said, this book is called The People Who Walk in Darkness. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. I can't recall the author right now. He's got a name that sounds German. German. I can't recall the name right now. Anyway, in this book, he says that the master asked the slave, Omar, he asked him, he said, I'm going in the area of your people. He was going overseas. He said, is there something you would like me to bring to you? And Omar Said said, yes, bring me a Quran. Some of us don't know that some of the slaves were allowed to keep their religion because they fell into the hands of more civilized masters. He said, yes, bring me a Quran. And his master told him, under one condition, he said, under one condition, and that is that you also accept the gift from me of the Bible. So Omar Said, he accepted that. He said, fine, I accept that. So his master brought him a Quran from overseas and also brought him a nice, fine new Bible. And this is all documented. Omar Said, because since I've said this in the community, one of the brothers went and did the study himself, and he found down here in the South, in North Carolina, he found evidence of this person's existence and proof that he was doing that work. Now, he, having with him a Quran and a Bible, began to do a comparative study of the Quran and the Bible. And he wrote on the Quran and the Bible. And it has, some of that script has been preserved even to the day. We have an Islamic heritage. Even though slavery cut us off from all past tradition and heritage, if we, as free people, now realize that we should have a place for Africa in our hearts, because Africa is our heritage, we should have a place for Africans in our hearts, because they are from our motherland, they are our brothers, they are the brothers and sisters of our ancestors. We have one common ethnic ancestry in them, our national ancestry in them, whatever you want to say, but after all, it's mostly ethnic. It's really cultural more than anything else. But if we can find an ethnic origin and we say these people belong to our line, our lineage, and therefore we should have, there should be a place in our hearts for them. After the white man has worked hard, I mean the oppressive white man, the oppressor, have worked hard to keep the truth of our Islamic past from us, and now that it has come to us, I don't see any reason to hold us back from building mosque Islamic culture in America to show not only the American white man, but to show ourselves, that we're not foolish. That just as the Irish, just as the Chinese, just as the Italian, just as all these other people who come here from other ethnic backgrounds and other ethnic pasts, we care too about what we had before you gave us this. Why, there are African Americans who go back to Africa and they bring bones. Primitive rituals to America. Say, we're going to preserve this. We once had this. It's Kwanzaa. What is Kwanzaa? Yes, Kwanzaa, I think it's called. Kwanzaa. They got a holiday of Christmas now. It's called Kwanzaa. And they go back and they bring nothing but really primitive stuff. But what I mean by primitive now, I mean an effort by the African man that did not bring him on the plane of high civilization. They bring that here, and they try to encourage Africans to identify with it. I mean, American blacks or African Americans here to identify with that, to cherish that, to preserve that. We have a religion that President James Madison recognized. We belong to a religion that the Moroccans identify with in. And the Moroccans have been respected by the United States for I don't know how many generations. They have been a friendly partner, with the United States for I don't know how many generations. We belong to a religion that many among the white elect, among the white intellectuals, say is responsible for making possible the birth of science, the rebirth of science in Europe and all over the Western world. If that is our heritage, I can't understand why there is not more interest on the part of African-American intellectuals in preserving this history by building museums in America to show African-American Islamic heritage, by building mosques in America to show the past religious life, have a sign of the past religious life of many of the African-American people here presently. I can't understand why we don't move in that direction. Why there are Buddhists who will pay and devote money and even start the project to bring a Buddhist temple to America, to Los Angeles or somewhere, and build it up and show you the Buddhist temple. And they don't have to be Buddhists, but they are Chinese. And they identify in the past of their Chinese people. You don't have to be a Muslim to have an appreciation for Islamic past. You know your circumstances since slavery. You know your circumstances in slavery. You don't have to be a Muslim to appreciate African-American Islamic heritage. You should be spending some of your Christian dollars for preserving Islamic American, Islamic heritage for the African-American man. Yes! Decency by yourself. Decency by yourself. Decency to yourself and your people. And the fact that we are not moving in that direction is proof that the white man still have us in some form of slavery. It may not be physical bondage, but he still has us in some form of slavery. If he didn't, we would be doing more to recognize the glory of ourselves and our past. You let Budweiser tell you about your great Islamic leaders. Yes, I see the picture of Muslims in their Muslim robes. Budweiser showing it to us. But Reverend Bud Weiser, CLDA, he just he won't wise up. Look, you people call yourselves Muslims. What I'm looking at right now, you call yourselves Muslims. You will never be respected by the immigrant Muslims as long as you remain passive before the great, great demands on you in America as a Muslim. I shouldn't be preaching this by myself. You all should be preaching it everywhere you are. And not only that, you should be joining me and encouraging me and saying, Brother Imam, we are going to have to bring this issue before the Congress. I shouldn't have to be the one to tell you this. Once I point to the matter, you should be encouraging me. You should be pushing me. Saying, Brother Imam, we're going to have to take this to Congress. And tell Congress that maybe the reason for low African-American esteem and low performance on the part of the African-American community has something to do with us being completely oblivious of our past Islamic excellence. And to correct this, we want to have Islamic cultural centers showing artifacts and proofs of our Islamic past and our Islamic excellence. Put in museums throughout these United States, made available to the poor, downhearted, low-spirited black man in the ghetto. But instead, they introduce something they call black studies and try to hide, play down the role of Islam, and end up making nothing but people who believe in animism. Give them the inferior things from their past, the hit and miss efforts of their ancestors. We shouldn't tolerate it. The people who migrate here from the Western world, all of these European, American, national people that came from Europe, Irish, French, all of them, they have places to hold for them their past excellence. I'm driving along the expressway. There's the Polish Cultural Center. Chinese Cultural Center. I'm looking for the African-American Cultural Center. I haven't seen it yet. Built the mosque, first mosque for the Muslims, the Kuba Mosque. Very simple, plain and simple building. Four walls, roof, plain, simple building. So he set for us the idea for a mosque building. You don't make it an elaborate place, don't compete with the Catholics and others in building cathedrals. But the Muslims flipped off course, and they start competing with the builders of Christian cathedrals. And they had to build something more elaborate and richer than the best Christian cathedral. They got off path. They got off course. So we have that big, fine, rich-looking place there that's making us look ridiculous. We can't hardly pay our rent. Some of us on welfare. Most of us don't have any jobs. And we holding our meeting in something that the Rockefeller family ought to be having. Big old place, the ceiling so high, you look at $1,000 worth of gas bill going up in it in one day almost in January. Yeah, you turn the heat up one day in January. You look at it, it's almost $1,000 going up into the cathedral to heat the dome. I said, oh, well, we call it the cultural center. And I felt that we really work on making it a fine cultural center, Muslim culture, ethnic culture center, that we would get support for it from even the non-Muslim. It hasn't happened yet. We haven't really built it up yet, so that it could be seen and attract support from outside the Muslim community. But I believe that's possible. And we could have a fine cultural center there on 7351 South Stony Island, in the south side of Chicago, southeast side of Chicago. In fact, I wish that's all we had there. I wish we'd leave the lake shore. We shouldn't be that close to all that water. We should go on inland. Makes more sense. When you go inland, you find people that's trying to establish home life, family life, trying to establish business life. Over there where we are, the people are just playing in the water. So the first step in self-awareness is to see yourself in the order that Allah made, not to see yourself in the order that man made. The order that man made is class system, color conscious system, racism. Don't see yourself in that. Don't think race before you think human being. Think human being and see your great value in the world of the human being. And no matter what your situation is, as a race, in a racist atmosphere, don't let that help hinder you. Don't let it hurt you at all. But move forward to advance the recognition, the validity and the respect and recognition for your human excellence, for your human value in the world of human beings. And if you do that, you're going to be working along two dimensions of interest. Your personal interest and also your interest in helping other people. But if you just think race, you do what our race is doing now. Working as individuals, caring nothing about the collective concern. Working as individuals to race and get ahead of each other. Now, I'm not saying all of us are in this shape, but this is the shape of the African-American or black community here. The shape of the black community in America is just that. There is not the presence of the collective concern and the collective effort. But each one is trying to race to get ahead of the other. If he can't do it lawfully, he will do it illegally. It's terrible. That's because our mind has come into the wrong situation. Situate our mind back into the reality that God made. Don't come into the mess that the white man has made and then let your mind form in response to the mess that he had made. Withdraw from that mess. Every great mind had first to withdraw from the circumstances he found himself in before he could do a great thing. Is to see your human identity. Allah shows us the human identity in Adam. Was Adam a Muslim? To be a true human is the first step in being a Muslim. Adam was a Muslim. He didn't belong to some other religion. He was a Muslim. He had the Muslim nature. He didn't have the Muslim system. The Muslim system of religion came with Prophet Muhammad. He had the Muslim nature. And for that reason, the learned imams, the learned scholars, the ulama, members of the ulama, they tell us that all of us are Muslims in our nature. And they make such statements based on the Quran, the Holy Book, and based on the Sunnah of the Prophet and their interpretation and understanding of it fixed. Huh? Yes. They say every all of us are Muslims in our nature. And do you know what I'm hearing from many Muslims abroad now? I used to hear it from just one or two. But now I'm getting it from many. I just heard it. I've heard it first from Jordanian, and I heard it then next from an Indian, a Pakistani, and then I heard it from an Egyptian. Lately, I heard it from an Iranian. You know what they're saying? That in spite of the condition of the African-American people, they are the people on earth today that are closest to their natural Muslim identity. You are not in the system of Islam that Allah revealed and established. No. But you, in your human makeup, you are closer to the real Muslim in his nature than most of the people on earth today. Now, that's hard to see looking at the condition of the majority of our people. But when you come to know them personally, you can see it. Because when they get the pressure of the fast, burdensome world off their back, oh, they say, are you sleeping in my bed? You don't have anywhere to stay tonight? Sleep in my bed. Huh? You don't have no food here? Come here. Say, honey, you ain't got no food. Take some of our butter. Take some of our flour. Huh? You want my wife to fix your dinner? How you gonna go home? Oh, wait. I'll take you home. Huh? And we had that kind of sense before Elijah Muhammad. Now, he must have had it before me. Yes. No kin to the family at all. But see a child destroying itself? Child, you shouldn't behave like that. Who's your mother? Where you live? I've heard that from our women. Who's your mother? Where you live? If I knew, I'd tell on you. You shouldn't be behaving like that. I know your parents don't want you behaving like that. The collective concern. Huh? Yes! See a stranger, never met him before. Embrace him. First day, first hour, the first minute. Huh? A stranger. Embrace him the first day, the first hour, the first minute. Meet him and you say, oh, he's all right. Embrace him. Take him home with you. Right? Yeah. Well, see, that's your Muslim nature. That's your true human self, which is your true human identity. I mean, your true Muslim identity. In its nature. But upon that nature should illumine a vision of how we should advance that nature and build a great society, a great civilization. For that purpose, Allah revealed the Quran. He says, and he has patterned man on the pattern that he made when he created the universe. Upon that pattern, he has given us the religion. It is the religion of the original nature, Deen al-Fitra, the religion of the original nature, the pattern upon which he patterned man when he made the universe. Even if you don't believe you have an inheritance or a heritage coming from Africa because of what your ancestors had before you came to America as slaves or before you were brought here as slaves, once you know the idea of this religion, you perceive the logic and teachings of this religion, you being in the situation that you're in, a beautiful Christian religion, a beautiful gospel, but blocked against you because it's too Caucasian, it's too white, racially speaking. African-American people, you will never get up to compete with white America in Christianity. Because the white man that accepted Christianity was the white man that accepted white supremacy. And his design on the world is also to be found in the Bible. He situated himself in a position of advantage in the world. He situated himself as in the position of advantage in the Bible. The original man is white but black in his heart. Adam was a man doomed to sin. Huh? He couldn't avoid it. He had to sin. And all of his children had to be sinners. But they give you Adam as a white man, but his heart turned black. Huh? The same theology tells us that Satan is the black angel. Huh? And then along comes the solution to the first problem. It is a white man born without a mother or father to be savior of all people. Oh, don't you all believe Jesus was born without a father? Yes, we certainly do. But we don't say he's savior to redeem all men because Adam sinned. We don't make him the savior for all men because his nature was right and Adam's was wrong. No. Our unity is first in Adam. And then our unity is in Abraham. And lastly, our unity is in the Ummah of Islam. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And we accept all of his prophets. And we believe that they came from all colors, from all nations, from all racial makes. That's what we believe about them. The problem cannot be corrected. You cannot make Christianity work for non-white people. It can't be corrected. Because there's nothing in Christianity that corrects it. There's no help in Christianity for the situation. Maybe if Jesus would be quoted in the Bible as saying, there's no superiority of a white over black, no superiority of a black over white, no superiority of a Jew over non-Jew, no superiority of a non-Jew over Jew, maybe we would have some help.
As-salamu alaykum. See you later.
Allahu Akbar. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala barakatuh. Thank you for joining us this morning for All Things Human. Alhamdulillah, we continue our journey that began under the topic Satan, Hypocrites, History, and the Word of God, and continues in this chapter, which is under the title How Shaitan Manages the society, how Shaitan, that is Satan, how he manages the society, and that's what we're talking about. And we're going to do that. What we got here? Good. So let's go ahead and get started. Okay. Let me close this out. So. All right, let's wrap. So we've this most recent period. I gotta get my image, get my picture straight here. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and pick up where we are. All right, with this slide, let's say. We covered this, I don't know, maybe two segments ago, but we're still inside of it. Now, this figure here, this Hank Helena, we've already explained that he is the Jacobite in our reading of this, Lucifer, the Dajjal, etc. One of his lines in the clip that we played from the movie Simone, which you see the picture here. The straw god changed my life. But we know that it is also saying the straw god saved my life. And we point out that the straw god is, as those of you who are with us through Imam Muhammad's piece that we played at the beginning, the straw god is the Western European Trinitarian Christianity, especially with its element of Christian Zionism. That's such a big story. I don't know when we'll take it up very specifically. We have in the past, but it's definitely going to come up in the political cycle. I can assure you of that, inshallah. So we'll go on with that. So the idea that this classic picture is a representation of the story of Jesus saving Peter from drowning after Peter fell trying to walk on the water. And so this is that straw god. This is that straw god that saved his life. So that lets you know that Peter is actually the representation of Hank Helino in our interpretation. And this picture of Jesus, subhanAllah, this depiction of Jesus, subhanAllah, is actually Western European Trinitarian Christianity that saved the Jacobite, gave him a protection from the otherwise beastly power of the Western European that was against the Jews. And so they came up with a strategy that would enable them to have power over their enemies. And that is what Western European Trinitarian Christianity is, and it has worked to a T. All right? So let's move on and further demonstrate some of that. I found an example, a very good example between last week and today. So therefore, this is the reason I'm sharing it with you. And it's the movie The Village, M. Night Shyamalan. I guess that's how you say his name. The Village. Right? So just replace the Jacobite with the people that's in the village. That people that are in the village, the storyline is that there's a group of people there, and if you don't know, I'm not trying to tell the whole story. If you don't know, the whole setting of it is such that you think it's back at the turn of the century. It's like in the earlier years of American life, right? They seem very rural, like farm-like people, right? So that's who you think they are. That's where you think they're from. It's not until the end of the movie that you find out that they're like in Central Park somewhere, some deep place that they have set up, and they have raised generation after generation thinking that they are in some other world, some other country, et cetera. There's a Star Trek series that we also play when we illustrated some of this in another presentation a few years back, Star Trek, where it says, I've been to the mountaintop and I've touched the sky. I've been to the top of the mountain and I've touched the sky. And there was a group of people who, quote unquote, aliens, but they all are always very human. In any case, they've been on their planet, such as they thought, but no, it wasn't a planet. It was a spaceship that was made to appear or to seem to those who weren't born knowing that it was a spaceship. They are living under the illusion that the world that they're in is a world, a planet, when in fact it's a spaceship, and they've been in space traveling after the destruction of their planet, kind of a diaspora. So I've been to mountaintop and I touched the sky, but there was this, oh, that's that old crazy man. But this is somebody who had actually gone to the top of what appeared to be a mountain and touched what appeared to be the sky. But then since nobody else had done that, it's crazy. Brother, sister, this kind of knowing, this kind of understanding, these parables, like, what is it, Plato's cave? Is it Plato's cave or Socrates' cave? Either way, the whole cave. I'm pretty sure it's Plato. Any case, that's knowledge that goes back. Okay, I got the ancient Kemet piece. I got all that. So I have to just always mention that so nobody don't think, well, come on, I got it. Okay, the point is that knowledge is old. So if it's older than, you know, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, if it's older than them, which it is, then in fact, indeed, it is Kemetic, quote unquote, Pharaonic, et cetera, and thousands of years. So it's knowledge that has been memorialized, that has been saved, that has been ritualized, that has been preserved and passed along to those who have been initiated into it, et cetera. It's been carried by people who are unconscious, and indeed the victims themselves carry the evidence, the influence, and really the information. Because somebody can look at someone, for example, somebody looks at someone's sickness, for example. You have the eyes to look at the person's sickness, and then if you can recognize the sickness, then, i.e. the symptoms, then you can also recognize, with that knowledge, you can also recognize the sources of the symptoms. Now, if you want to create those symptoms in somebody else, then all you have to do is bring about the same kind of conditions that fostered those symptoms in a previous generation, then you can do it again in the current generation. And as long as you're able to do that, and as long as you're able to keep everything set the way that it is, and that's important, that word set, go back to this pantheon of Egyptian gods and find who is set. So as long as you can do that, then you get a mindset, and you're able to keep that going. There's a method, I don't want to stay too long here. The fixed action pattern, modal action pattern, sign stimulus. Look those things up, because these are the ways where somebody says, look, I can put you on a Pavlov's dog program. It doesn't matter. If you don't know how I'm reinforcing, if you don't know how I'm conditioning you, then I can just keep conditioning you and your children and your children's children, and they will be predisposed to be conditioned in that way. And I'll tell my children how to play on your children so that your children will be the servants of my children. Look up that story, the story that Choose the Slave. Just put that in Google, Choose the Slave. The Jewish fable, Choose the Slave. Look that up. Okay, let's get back to this. So the group of people, yeah, so what it turns out to be is a group of people who are, quote-unquote, sick and tired of the world and the murders and the rapes and the robberies and da-da-da of the outer world. And so they're the founders of this village. They created a plan where they were the architects of the plan. They were consciously knowing that, well, we know we're going to go into an artificial situation. We know it's an artificial situation, and we know the elements that have to be present that actually make up the full perception of whoever it is that we want to keep in this laboratory type circumstance, but they not know that they're in a laboratory circumstance, going back to the Truman Show. Same kind of scenario, all these other movies that I've talked to you about, these are depictions of what has really happened in this and continues to happen in the society. So all we need to know are what are the conditions that need to be created and sustained in order to perpetuate the mindset, the way of thinking, the beliefs, and the behaviors that we want to see. All we have to do is maintain that environment. We got, okay, so that the village is actually demonstrating. It's actually, it's a picture of that very thing. And so at the end of the movie, and the only one that got out was the blind girl. The girl, she was the only one who could find the way out. She was a blind girl. And the way that the main way that they controlled the people in the village was, this is the red creature, this the red creature right here, this is the costume. They created a boogeyman, right? They created a boogeyman, a scarecrow, if you will. And that's when you go back to the Jeepers Creepers image. It's the same thing. It's designed to scare, to frighten, et cetera, the individuals who are the object of the manipulation, frighten them into a certain behavior. You know, the boogeyman going to get you. You know, like Santa Claus, you better watch out. You better not, probably better not cry because Santa Claus is coming to town. You know, he knows when you've been sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been good or bad. So be good for goodness sake. So it's like that's to frighten and coerce the child into behaving in a certain way. And so it's a mechanism of control. It's a mechanism of control. And that is exactly what the false image of Jesus Christ, who we as Muslims believe in Jesus Christ, but that idea of Jesus Christ that's been given in Western European Trinitarian Christianity is a scarecrow. It is a boogeyman. It is designed. That one is designed as a mechanism of control, sign, stimulus, fixed action pattern, modal action pattern, a symbol for control over who? The ones that were a threat to the one who created it. And said, the straw God changed my life. The straw God saved my life. That's how they protect it. And the biggest protection for them are Christian Zionists. It's not a religious, what I'm saying, the thing. I'm not even focused on that, but I'm saying you can see it. Now go spend some time looking and seeing how much of the current politics of the Republicans is undergirded by Christian Zionism. You go look at that. All right, so let's move on for this presentation. So the Jacobite is a small group of ungodly people, wise to the world and to human nature, seeking to evade their own extinction. This didn't just start. This has been going on for thousands of years, okay? Now, I want to bring your attention to, I think you can see my cursor, young man, right? I have forgotten that, in fact, just seeing this picture again right here, that he was even the movie. This is even in the movie. This is Jesse Eisenberg. Jesse Eisenberg. I think I'm going to have to go back to that meta piece for you to really appreciate this, because I want you to watch out for those fixed action patterns, those modal action patterns, those sign stimulus that come up in your mind, and whoever else is thinking, oh, you know, this is just against the Jews. This is just more that Jewish anti-Semitism rhetoric. And no, that's the game, though. That's the game to get people to, whenever that comes up, then you push back this way. You know, don't say that. No, we're going to say it because it is what it is. It's like, it is. So this Jesse Eisenberg, remember I tried to point out, and I pointed out to you, that certain characters play certain roles, and so they are symbols in the lexicon of movie making. You know, there is what you expect Sean Connery to be when you see it. You know, there is what you expect to be when Morgan Freeman's character is there, right? And we've talked about in this line, we've talked about Al Pacino and Al Pacino, Godfather. How many parts to Godfather? According to my count, it was only three. Why? Why is it in the three? Then you got Al Pacino, who plays two sides. He plays the devil. He played the quote-unquote so-called good guy police in Heat and the like. But you have him as Scarface and so many others. Where I'm at. Jesse Eisenberg. Okay, Jesse Eisenberg. You might remember him as playing Mark Zuckerberg in the Social. I think it's called The Social Network, right? He also plays the Jacobite character. By our interpretation, the Jacobite character Lex Luthor, in the Batman vs Superman, which is the very thing I'm telling you right now. But I'm telling you right now, you can find the same marbling. You can find that same thing in that movie. And you don't have to dig deep. You just basically got to know the code. I mean, once you know the code, okay. Same thing. He plays a key character in The Four Horsemen also. I'm talking about this guy, Jesse Eisenberg. And there are a couple of other roles that he plays. So the point is that when you look at this movie, The Village, what he appears to have, just like Hank Helino's character, this character right here, you only see him for, I don't know, however long that little clip is, it's less than 5 minutes, I'm quite sure. His interchange between Al Pacino with Al Pacino, that's it for him. He's gone. He's out of there. But he's at that conversation and the role that what he brings and leaves after his death, Al Pacino received what he left, the hard drive, you know, like the Hard Rock Cafe, the hard drive that he left. He inherited it. Al Pacino inherited it from him. Okay, so it's an inheritance, right? So that's a big deal. You got to think about, you get into Esau and Jacob, understand what went on with that. Isaac and Jacob. What went on with that Esau and Jacob. So in terms of that inheritance, Imam Muhammad said, "Rahimahullah alayh, Satan is a mindset that is inherited by people that come into a certain way of thinking and they use it against the common human person, right? So that goes back with the fallen, right? Each one who got whatever the devil, quote unquote, was in that. It was an inheritance from the person that had it before them. And it's inherited by the next, and it's inherited by the next. So this is what has happened. Those people who dominate the masses of people who don't know the game and who prey upon those people who don't know the game, they pass it on to subsequent generations in order for them to maintain their rule and management over that. That's the world we live in right now. We live in a managed world by those who have inherited the keys, back to Peter with the keys, those who have inherited the keys to bind and to loose those powers over the people using what? Sign stimulus. They give you the symbol. They give you the symbol, back up, expose us, eliminate us, et cetera. So the village is just a symbol of these people, a small group of ungodly people, wise to the world and to human nature, seeking to evade their own extinction. And that is the underlying fear and dread of these people. So now here, Jesse Eisenberg, he's just dropped in there. You have this figure and he plays a role, but his role is so minor. Now, you know, I go into a movie with some detail that I'm interested in. It's like, he's just forgettable. I even also forgot about Andrew Brody, who's also in this movie. And Andrew Brody is one. He's presented as the crazy person. He's like the idiot nephew or the idiot son kind of in the movie, right? But why? Because he's like that old man in the Star Trek piece I was telling you. So I've went to the top of the mountain and I've touched the sky. He came to know the game behind the village, to know the reality behind the village, the reality of the so-called, the I don't know what they call it, but I'm going to call him the boogeyman. But there was a conspiracy to say, no, that's not, he's crazy. And he did go, quote-unquote, crazy in appearance because of the fact that I know what I know. I know I saw what I saw. I know what I'm seeing is real. But y'all trying to make me think I'm crazy, which brings us back to the, not bring us back, brings us now to mention gaslighting. Gaslighting, that's another thing you need to be aware of. Gaslight. So you get gaslighted, so it's like if you work crazy, if you don't figure out how they are playing against what your quote-unquote lying eyes have showed you, and you keep allowing more and more of the fabric of what you realize and actualize in your own experience to be true, but they start tearing away from it, and now you're getting torn between, well, is it true? Is it not true? Maybe I am crazy. Maybe I didn't see what I thought I saw. Before it's over, now you're crazy. And so they don't have to worry about you no more. And they just tell everybody, you're crazy. And that's that whole idea about conspiracy theories. When people tell, once you do find, hey, look, if it is a conspiracy, then it's not a theory, right? But even that phrasing itself was put together by the people who craft the conspiracies. Spell it out and you get an idea of what I'm talking about. I'm just playing games, not out of fear. And this is serious. I say I'm playing games, but having fun, I should say. So, anybody know anybody named Patricia? Okay, that's all the hint I can give you. So, where are we at here? Okay, so the village, right? So the village makes me think about the village people. All right, small group of people, blah, 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 Jacobite, Lucifer, da, 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 da. So what do? They fashioned a psychological strategy, which is they created a religion to defeat the heart and mind of a bigger enemy, which is the Gentile, who was a threat to them. This is what the Jacobite did. What did he use? He used ancient knowledge, and we've already explained that, but there's more to come on that. So here, this is the front cover of the box for the movie, The Golem. What is that, Lord of the Rings, you got The Golem. Think about that. The Golem is, this is a 1925 movie, silent film, The Golem. And The Golem is really, the precursor of Frankenstein. Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, that wasn't like born new in her mind. The Golem, the Frankenstein is the Golem. And it's Frankenstein's monster. We call him Frankenstein, but that's not Frankenstein. That's Frankenstein's monster. Frankenstein made the monster, right? And in the movie The Golem, the Golem was created in order to protect the Jews from the power of a village of Jews, to protect them from the monarchical powers that were going to have them evacuated, eliminated, decimated. And so the rabbi had to reach back and get old knowledge and force Ashtaroth. Ashtaroth is like, okay, you're an evil dude, but we know that you have the secret of the sacred word. You have the secret word. You, Ashtaroth. You think, I'm just saying for sake of understanding so we can move on. Think Ifrit of the jinn. Just think Ifrit of the jinn. So they have Ashtaroth. This is a part of this Kabbalah, right? So the one who's holding the secret is the evil one, but if you know the right spell, if you know the right spell, then you can force the evil one to give you that word, right? Let me see if I made it enough so I can read that a little better. Let's see. Okay, Ashtaroth is this, I'm going to call it a djinn, but in the silent film it's called the dreaded spirit Ashtaroth. So there's a rabbi talking. He said, I must wrest the life-giving word that will bring the golem to life to save my people. And listen to this and just get the idea. Okay, we need to save our people. Okay, well then, what's God have to do with it? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? It's like you don't go to God. You don't go to God. You go to Ashtaroth, because we know this thing that slippery phones in the movie, the golem. They're saying that the life-giving word that will bring the golem to life to save my people is with the dreaded spirit Ashtaroth. Europeans are called Goyim, right? And that L translates into a Y for that language. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The golem, the goyim, same thing. Check it out for yourself. It's true. So the idea, so Frankenstein is like we're giving Frankenstein as though it's something brand new. No, man. Frankenstein is thousands of years old. It's just an updated version of it. Somebody will make you think that it's new to the mind of some young European girl with regard to that. All right, so what's next? Okay, so here's how the game goes. This is the game. This is the game, and this has been the game for these thousands of years that I'm talking about. Jacobite is not new. It wasn't February 1975 that Jacobite was born. No, he's been around. Different names, Lucifer, Dajjal, et cetera, right? So now this is from the movie Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. Blog Talk Star, hopefully some of you can multitask either way. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. So both of them together, this character is called the Master Blaster. Doesn't that sound like hip-hop language? It is hip-hop language. Master Blaster. Right? So. I'll just read the piece that they have there. I found it online somewhere. I think it's like this. Whatever. I can't remember. You look it up. Look up Barter Town and Master Blaster. You'll find it somewhere. So it says, who runs Barter Town? This is where it all goes down in the movie. This is one with Tina Turner in it, right? Who runs Barter Town? Maybe these two. There are two people, if you haven't noticed already. The brains is named Master, and the brawn is called Blaster. Together, this dynamic duo runs Barter Town along with Auntie Entity. And I just want you to understand this. Barter Town is the global economy, all right? Barter. Barter Town is the global economy. Just like Kirk, when you spell Captain Kirk, when you get the spelling right, you'll get church, C-H-U-R-C-H. And if you want to know the wealthiest religious establishment on the planet, then you have to look at the church, especially the Catholic Church, where Peter sits. MashaAllah, I'm not mad, I'm just pointing out. So church, C-H-U-R-C-H, is Kirk. C-H is K-U-R, and then C-H is K again. Kirk, Captain Kirk. What's the name of that spaceship? Starship Enterprise. The Starship Enterprise. Boldly going where no man has gone before. MashaAllah. All right. Gather, this dynamic duo runs Bartertown along with Auntie Entity. Sometimes they even wrestle for control, since Master is responsible for producing the city's energy needs, right? More than just a fancy take on a Mad Max character, Master Blaster was George Miller's, who's the director, his curious insight into how, listen now, how some people survive or keep surviving. So this is about surviving. Remember, small group of ungodly people, wise to the world and to human nature, seeking to evade their own extinction, seeking to survive, right? Holocaust survivors, you often hear that language, and all respect to the humanity and Allah's justice upon those who are wrong and evil in the process. But don't think that they were all only the ones behind the barbed wire. Moving on. What we see between these two is good old-fashioned symbiosis. Master is the physically weak but smart. Sound like anybody you know? Blaster is mentally incapable but strong. Opposites attract and also give Mad Max himself a hard time. So here on the side there, now you see who the master is and who the blaster is. The master is in the game, and the blaster is, I'm just going to put it straight, white supremacy, right? The lie that was told to the European to make him think that he is a direct descendant of God himself. And then the Jacobite got on his shoulders, in his head, and rides him around the world to take other folks' stuff and then turn it over to the master. All right? All you got to do is just look into how much financial support comes from America to occupy Palestine. How much power that little small nation exert in the world and upon America. How many politicians dare not say a thing that runs counter to the aspirations of Israel. And don't get it twisted. The former president's son-in-law, whose birthday gift was a building, 666 in New York. I've looked it up through my sources as well. It's like, you know, this is not just talk. This is what was given to us. So, mashallah, we got to move on. So remember this. The highest knowledge of man in society is the science of his spirituality. And believe me, this is Imam Muhammad speaking. And believe me, you're not ruled by guns. You're not subdued because of great physical knowledge. You're subdued because there are people in this world who know more about your spirituality than you do, and they're able to use the tools of science that they have regarding your spirituality to manipulate you and keep you under adverse spirits. Now, this is Imam Muhammad. That was Pharaoh in Egypt, March 21st, 1982. This picture on the lower right, that's Al Sharpton, Reverend Al Sharpton. That person in the middle is Rick Rubin. I don't know who the girl is, and I don't know what was going on there. But God, the guy standing back looks like, you know, it's like a Black Panther motif I get from that. That's a shotgun. This guy is standing behind him with a shotgun. He's not, so those who are not seeing the pictures, he's not aiming, the gun is not being aimed at anybody in the picture. It's just a part of the regalia, right? So this this is to say, and I'm about to show you a little bit more. It's like Al Sharpton is like, on one level, it's like, let's put it like this, game within a game, right? If you don't think Al Sharpton has got game, listen, no disrespect. I just got to say what it is, and y'all work out whatever you got to work out. You know, it's like, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it just to put a humorous thing on it. But it's like, come on now. If you don't think Al Sharpton got game on how to get people, you know, worked up and quote unquote say you know how to work a crowd, then you don't know. I mean, unless you know, of course, some people is like, I mean, literally just they just outgrown it, you know. But the point is that there are principles that still work on some people, and that's part of the game that he got. Is what it is. Wherever I'm wrong, and you know I'm wrong, then send me a note. Let me know. Okay. But I'm saying, even inside of all that, he knows. Grant, let's grab him stuff. And what? Like, he don't know none of what the Rick Rubens of the world know. Wallahi. So they said, he's standing there. They're there. You think we on the same plane? We're running the same game. It's like, man, you're in a whole different world. I'm on a level where you ain't even peeped into where I am right now. So, mashallah. So let's touch on that a little bit more. That's what I'm saying. It's a spiritual game. Now, I guess that's the main thing I'm trying to get to. It's a spiritual game. The key of life is about getting into people's heads, getting into people's hearts, manipulating them above their head, and even allowing them to think that they know. And you may even be the one that, oh, man, oh, you know what? I never thought of that. You may be the one saying it to them, but you playing on their stupidity because it's like, oh, you thought that was deep. Oh, okay, well, let me act like that's deep. Oh yeah, tell me more. Yeah, come on now. That's what's going on. That's what I am speaking of, that the devil on that level. That's what I'm talking about. All right, moving on. So here's Rick Rubin. Just give you a couple of images. That bottom right image, that's the guy that plays the guitar in whatever. It's a Mad Max flip. But you see, they're showing you the big, the great, the power of music, rock, fire coming out of the guitar, and so that's all that is a depiction of, yeah, this is what's going on in the world. We are the master blasters of the world, and we are dominating it through our power in the music industry. So I just mentioned in passing and kept on moving, talking about politics. You remember I talked to you about the guy, whatever his name, Arnon Milchan, and all the movies and the influence in the movie industry. I mean, major influence in the movie. Listen, if somebody owns 5%, a 5% share of Apple, and that is they privately hold share of Apple. Do you think they're influential on the Apple Corporation? You better hurry up and know it. Just 5%, right? And less, actually, but I use 5% because I know that's huge, right? So now here's Rick Rubin, the one who started with Russell Simmons, Def Jam, right? But now here's Kendrick Lamar. Maybe we may say some things about him, but he has a record called Lucy, and it's a dedication to Lucifer. And there's an interview where he actually explains that. Lucifer, he doesn't see anything wrong with Lucifer. Lucifer is cool. In fact, Lucifer helps me to understand who I really am. This is Kendrick Lamar. Now, old heads, you might not know Kendrick Lamar. Who's that? Tell me about James Brown. No. Okay, fine. Kendrick Lamar. Your sons and daughters they know of him if they're more than teenagers. So that's Kendrick Lamar, Rick Rubin, Jay-Z, Rick Rubin, Ye, what's his name? Ye, Yeezy, whatever. What's that boy's name? I'm looking at him. Kanye, right. Kanye West, right? Jay-Z, billionaire, multi-billionaire. Kanye West, according to reports, multi-billionaire. I saw a report that said he was actually worth $6.6 billion. It was on a legitimate page, a legitimate site. But the point is, they're billionaires. What is that? What do you think that says about it? Now, you look at Rick Rubin. I'm just trying to show you the power of how this influence happens, and the magnitude of it, of the powers behind those that are in front of us. Right? And so you have the billions that come through that, right? And let's go on. Here's Rick Rubin with Slayer. He's the producer, right? Slayer. Now Slayer is that whole let me just read the line right here. They're during a release party for an album entitled God Hates Us All. All right? That's Slayer. He is also a producer for AC/DC. Now, I don't know what that means. I've heard it means Angel Child, Devil Child. Maybe that's what it means. Don't know. But the point is, that's where he is. You go to you go online, look at Rick Rubin's top 100 projects, something like that. Top 100 projects, man. You hear people who know about the music industry and the power of the music industry, and just one hit record, just one hit record will take care of you for a very, very long time, and your family. This one, he's involved. They took just what to list the top 100. That's not all. You only got 100 projects, but it's the top 100, and he goes across the span. Right? Do you think that that's power in the music industry? This is just one person here, right? When do you think he stopped thinking about money in this whole process? I'm telling you, you can play this game cash flow. You play this game cash flow, and you'll get to a point if you get out of the rat race. you get to the point where you say, oh, that's how that works. It's like you keep telling me, I'm saying, you'll stop thinking about, okay, well, you're going to get $300,000 when you pass this point. It's like it's not even interesting, et cetera. You're trying to get to the win involved with it. So a $300,000 payday, a $500,000 payday, that's not it because I haven't got that thing that I want. So the point is that for a long time it hasn't been about money, man, if it ever was from the beginning, okay? Here's the other one, Lior, that's how they pronounce his name, Lior, but no, it's a liar. Lior Cohen, right? It says, nowadays, Lior Cohen is on the board of directors at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and works as the global head of music at YouTube, a position he's held since December 2016. At YouTube, Cohen, Cohen, was instrumental in the launch of the streaming service YouTube Music, which was introduced to compete on a more level playing field with the likes of Apple and Spotify. Now, you know that Jay-Z sold Tidal for so many hundreds of millions of dollars, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, look, Jay-Z is in the game. What level? But no, he's not. He don't have the spiritual, the insight, the knowledge, et cetera. We don't know what he knows. He don't have what Rick Rubin has. He consults with Rick Rubin. Leo Cohen, who is on the other side of it. So now you're looking at people who, and that's Russell Simmons in the middle there. You're looking at people who control the lion's share of the biggest hitters in the music industry. Cohen and Rubin. You can sleep if you want to. But that's what it is. So back to the rock and roll piece. That's why it's called rock and roll, because music has charms to soothe a savage breast, to soften rocks, to bend a knotted oak. I've read that things inanimate have moved, and as with living souls, this is telling you how music influences the spiritual nature, huh? As with the living souls have been informed by magic numbers and persuasive sound. All right? This is the heart of the management of society. Music. It's music. I'm talking about the Jacobite side of it. I always have to remind my brother William. I agree with him. Sound art. In this genre that we're speaking of right here, sound art. That's a good description. That's for the good side of it. But this, what we're talking about, this is music. This is music. All right. So let's see. Let's go ahead and hit this. We're gonna be out. This is that Mark Zuckerberg commercial. Facebook transitioning to Meta. I know we covered it last week, but it's a perfect time for now to bring it up. How music is being used to charm the savage breast, but then most people understand it in the proverb or the piece, the savage breast. Now watch how, I'll remind you again how this game is being used right here. So notice that they're suspicious. They're walking up with suspicion. Say, what are you doing, right? And then so when they look and they start about to catch him, he says. So he rubs the head of what appeared to be the victim, and then they started hitting with the beat, right? Now with the beat, those people that were suspicious of what was going on, the music starts getting into them, and they start getting into the music, right? All these weird images. So you forgot all about what you were suspicious about, and they just spooking you up. Witch doctor kind of treatment. That's because of that old knowledge. That's that old inherited knowledge. You don't think Mark Zuckerberg inherited that old knowledge of how to manipulate those people who threaten you and how to get control over the people who threaten your existence? You got to know how to use the music. You have to know how to charm them. You have to know how to get them off of you by manipulation. So what have you heard about the Facebook controversy since this woman brought out what was going on there? It's nowhere in the news cycle. Nowhere. And Facebook has disappeared. Oof. We are now Meta. Allah Akbar. See, that's like the Four Horsemen. That character, that Jesse Eisenberg character, the Four Horsemen. Now you see it, now you don't. Right? So this is just all it is just a pure example of what's actually going on. And so you have the idea of this like make you think that this is that the water buffalo, I'm going to call it the water buffalo, you think that the water buffalo is the victim, right? No, the water buffalo is Hank Helino. The water buffalo is but they're able to paint themselves, project themselves, oh, I'm a victim, oh, somebody did it to me, because that's also a part of the game. A part of the game in the world, the way that the world has been set up, if you can project yourself and convince the people looking at you that you are the victim, now you're able to manipulate their motivations, drives, sentiments, and aspirations, because after all, you're the victim, all right? And that's what Bilalians in general have drunk a little too much from that cup that was offered to us by the Jacobites. Learn how to be the victim. Learn how to play the victim, even when you're not the victim. And that is Shaitan, too. We haven't gotten to that. We're going to have to go. Where Shaitan said, speaking to Allah, he said, because you have put me in the wrong. So he said, I'm the victim here. And when you look at that devil's advocate monologue that Al Pacino, when it's finally revealed that he is the devil, you listen to his monologue, he's the victim, right? What's that? So that's saying that the key is, if you can project, if you can take the spot of being the victim, now you can manipulate the people who are the onlookers, the people who are suspicious but who don't understand who the real one is. So the idea of metta, you got to keep an eye on health, right? And let's close out with this part right here. Yeah, NWA, right? Talking about music, right? We're back to music. NWA, seeing this image right here, Eazy-E, he has on a number of occasions tried to make it a fashion thing, they say, that was the only reason that he was trying to wear sunglasses with only one eye on it. No, that's the jab, using that. And when people try to figure out when did the music change, when did the direction of music change from conscious rap, hip-hop, et cetera, when it changed, a prime suspect in the changing from being conscious to being gangster, it is the NWA. Niggas with attitudes, right? And there you are, Dr. Dre, another billionaire right there in the middle, still standing out of all the others that have fallen. Dr. Dre is still standing, billionaire as well. Do you think it's something that they know, or is it something that somebody else know? What is it? And Eazy-E, where is he? Dead. Under suspicious circs, as they call it. Right? Hank Helena. There you go. And then TLC. TLC. And you had Left Eye Lisa Lopez. Lisa Left Eye Lopez, right? They have a hell of a story. But then also, who's dead? Lisa Left Eye Lopez. Who is she? She was the star. She was the center. She was the rapper. The other two are vocalists. They are vocalists. And they started they had sold 20 million albums. 20 million is going on. You see, with all the Grammys. But then they started having those kind of, Michael and Jack, what do they say? Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 or something like that. Diana Ross Supremes, that whole kind of kaflama, as they might call it, started going down with them. Okay, so she goes and takes a religious retreat in Barbados or something like that and gets into an unfortunate car accident and dies. Right in the midst of after signing with Death Row Records. Death Row Records runs through all this too. Okay? And where's Suge Knight? So I'm not going to follow the rest of that. The point is, I'm asking you this. Why is it that only those who are pictured with the one eye are dead? Hank Helena, he dies in the movie. Eazy-E, dead. Left Eye Lisa Lopez, dead. Those ideas, what is that? I know a lot of things that could be said about it, but mashallah, we're not going to say them today. Inshallah. We are going to call it a morning. That's it. Oh, my God. The images are not showing. Okay. Why do I see them on the screen? Okay. All right, so I'm going to have to figure out something else then. Images aren't shown. All right, mashallah, this was it. I know I have been recording it, so what I'm going to have to do, I guess I'm going to have to pull this down, and we're not seeing the pictures. Mashallah. Said, add to stream. Wow. Okay, you see him now, but now the party's over. all right, so I don't know what I can say. I'll work out something. I'll have to redo it or download it. If we see those images, then what I'll do, I'll load it up to YouTube and Facebook in another way. MashaAllah. All right. So may Allah have mercy on us. Guide us to the best. And to all of you, alhamdulillah, yes, today is my birthday. And that is why I decided to go topless, so you can see me in all of my 70-year-old glory. Praise be to Allah. It's a nice journey, and it continues. Allah's peace be with you. Thank you. And again, to all, I mean, I respond to all and everybody's birthday greetings, but one collective thank you for all times. God's peace be with you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. MashaAllah.